It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Tuesday's Supreme Court election set records for spending and for turnout, and it sets the course for Wisconsin's high court, possibly for years to come.
But does the outcome have a deeper meaning at the state and national level? Political observers are digging into the results for lessons about American politics and trends.
Craig Gilbert is with us to sort it out and find out what happened in key parts of the state. He's a columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and fellow at the Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education at Marquette University Law School. Craig, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
It's great to be with you.
Craig, it doesn't seem like that long ago that April Supreme Court elections were pretty sleepy, right? 2017, the winner beat unopposed. There was only one candidate in that race. Things have changed. Talk about the turnout and the interest in this race.
Yeah, the turnout was, I think, surprised even people who were closely involved in the campaign who were expecting an increase in turnout. I was expecting an increase in turnout. I mean, you can't spend all that money in a world that is this polarized with all the things that are going on right now and not expect people to want to make their voices heard. And so it's part of a long-term trend with these races. Like you said, they used to be sleepy, and they, as they became more partisan and more divisive, and as the perceived stakes in control of the Wisconsin Supreme Court grew, that resulted in more people voting. But you know, we took another whole nother step in this election, I think, and that had a lot to do with not only spending that much more money, but it had a lot to do with Elon Musk and Donald Trump.
Right. And a lot of national observers, Craig, are looking at this as a referendum. What does a swing state like Wisconsin think about Donald Trump and Elon Musk, who were heavily, especially Musk, heavily involved in this campaign? Yet, this is a state Supreme Court race. There are issues, state issues like abortion, redistricting, labor rights, and more. Can we sort out? Is it possible to sort out how much state factors weighed in here versus this nationalized version of an election?
Well, we can't sort it out with any precision. And I think the word referendum is a really tricky word because it just sort of suggests that people are casting an up or down vote purely on the president or purely on Elon Musk, which obviously isn't the case.
Right.
But I also think it's a mistake to be sort of too dismissive of this race. I mean, some of the analysis and some of the spin coming from the losing side has been, you know, these low turnout elections, special elections, low turnout elections, off year elections are entirely about which side is angrier, and the Democrats are angrier right now. And so that's why the liberal candidate won. And I think that is too dismissive because this was not a special election. It was not a low turnout election. I mean, it was the number of people that voted in Wisconsin was the equivalent of 70% of the presidential vote and almost 90% of the last midterm. Not only that, it was bigger than the midterm turnout in like three quarters of the 50 states in the last midterms in the U.S. in 2022. That's a huge electorate. So it's not in an electorate that big. It is not absolutely entirely about base versus base. I mean, there are people voting in this election who are not, you know, hardcore partisan Democrats and hardcore partisan Republicans. And so in that sense, I do think there is a broader meaning.
The Republican theory of the game was there are those Republican voters who turn out in presidential races, not in April elections. The Elon Musk strategy was we're going to try to connect Brad Schimmel to Donald Trump. And we saw lots of flyers with pictures of both of them in it. We're going to put money into motivating those voters. The question is, did they actually end up motivating more Democrats, more people on the other side than their own voters? What did you see there?
Yeah, I think that's quite possible. I mean, again, we don't know. And, you know, you could argue, as some Republicans have, that all the money Elon Musk spent did serve to kind of level the financial playing field in this race and did turn out some Republicans. This was such a big outpouring of voters. And, you know, clearly what's going on, you know, you mentioned their desire to get something closer to a presidential turnout. And, you know, in two of the last three presidential elections, Donald Trump has won at that presidential turnout level, but he's only won by a fraction. And so, you know, imagine replaying the presidential election today with everything that's going on, you might not have the same result. So it wasn't as simple as the more people that vote, the better it is for the conservative candidate, clearly, because the climate is different. And, you know, obviously Democrats are helped by the fact that they're more motivated than Republicans, but that in itself is a consequence of what's going on in Washington and around the world right now. And that in itself is a problem for Republicans. And it could be a problem in the 2026 midterms.
Talking to longtime political observer Craig Gilbert about lessons we can and can't learn from Tuesday's election. Craig, let's get geographical now. I want to start in southwestern Wisconsin. We've talked before about Crawford County. I think you wrote years ago it was the biggest flip from Obama to Trump. It is a flippy county. It went toward Donald Trump in the presidential election, now to Susan Crawford, no relation, in this election. What's going on over there?
Yeah, if you look at the, if you just look at sort of the drop off in the margin for Donald Trump in 2024 for president again, and the and comparing that to the margin for Brad Schimmel versus Susan Crawford in this election, the biggest drop-offs between the presidential result and the court result were in southwestern Wisconsin. I mean, Lafayette, Richland, La Crosse, Crawford, Iowa. So that's a quirky part of the state where voters have been very swingy, and they have swung in a Republican direction for Donald Trump in recent cycles. But the same thing hasn't happened to the same degree in other elections for in the midterms, and it certainly hasn't happened in these court elections. And so if you look at kind of like the state by region, and you look at the La Crosse TV market, which is like 12 counties, but it's that western, southwestern Wisconsin region, Donald Trump, you know, won that region in 2024 by 8 points. And he won it by 5 points in 2020. But in all these races, all these court races we're talking about, the liberal candidate is winning the La Crosse region by anywhere from, you know, 5 to 10 or 12 points. And in this case, Susan Crawford won it by 7 points. So again, you see, especially in western Wisconsin, but all across the state, you see this gap between the presidential performance and the court performance.
On the opposite end of the state, northeastern Wisconsin, the we've got the Wow counties around Milwaukee. Well, there's the Bow counties, Brown, Outagamie, Winnebago, Fox Cities, Green Bay. Again, trending away from the Trump outcome toward the liberal, the Crawford outcome in this race. More people there to watch for. A swing there can really swing a tight election. This wasn't a tight election. What are you looking to learn there?
Yeah, again, these counties are really interesting because they're pretty purple and they're real battlegrounds. And if you look at Brown County, which is where kind of Green Bay is, again, the liberal court candidate has been winning by modest, very modest amounts, but consistently winning in these races by 3, 4, 5 points, and again by 3 points in this election, even though at the presidential level, you know, Brown County has been captured, Outagamie has been captured by Donald Trump by 8, 9, or 10 points. So again, it is a different electorate, and it's valid to point out that difference, but these are counties that are also, again, I don't think it's 100% just base versus base and motivation. It's also, these are counties where you find persuadable voters. I mean, these the Green Bay market has always been super attractive to campaigns because it's not super expensive, but it's got a higher proportion of swing voters than, for example, you know, traditionally the Milwaukee and Madison markets have had. So it's been a super battleground at the presidential level and in these other states. So there's a reason why people watch the Fox Valley so closely.
Another closely watched phenomenon in every Wisconsin election is how much turnout and run-up can the Democrats get in Dane County and Milwaukee County? How much can Republicans do in the Wow counties, those suburban counties around Milwaukee? What did you see?
Again, in the Wow counties, there's been a long-term decline in Republican margins. In this case, it was, you know, not a whole lot different from the 2023 court race. But the long-term trend has been much smaller margins. You know, you talked about the old days in court races. And, you know, in Waukesha County, you know, the conservative candidate was winning by 35, 40, 45 points. And, you know, in 2023, that was down to 16 points, and it was down to 15 points in this election. So that's, you know, that part of the state has changed. Milwaukee County, you know, good turnout, probably better than some people associated with the Crawford campaign expected. And again, a lot of that is what's happened in the inner Milwaukee suburbs, which have just gotten kind of a lot bluer. And when we talk about, you know, this turnout problem for Republicans structurally in these lower turnout elections, the parties have realigned, and there are more college-educated voters in the Democratic Party and fewer working-class voters. And education tends to be a predictor of turnout in lower turnout elections. So Republicans are facing that challenge, you know, losing four out of the last five court races, all in each case by double digits. And Dane County is a perfect example, because in Dane County, you not only have the problem of Dane County turning out disproportionately in these spring elections. I mean, it was almost like 80% of the presidential turnout. But you have, like, it was a great illustration of how motivated the Democratic base is. I mean, you know, the Susan Crawford won Dane County by like more than 180,000 votes, which is basically a presidential level margin for Democrats. And to have that in a spring election is pretty astounding. And it's just a huge hurdle for Republicans to overcome by trying to offset that vote in a lot of smaller counties around the state.
Craig, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us today.
Absolutely.
That's Craig Gilbert, a fellow at the Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education at Marquette University Law School. He's also a columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he was a longtime political reporter. You can read his latest column at the Milwaukee Journal's website. Plus, visit WPR.org for more election analysis from our WPR News team. If you have thoughts, commentary, or prognostications for next year's election based on the lessons learned this week, tell us about it. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.